Father God, we just praise you. We thank you so much for your presence here with us. We do thank you for joy. So we thank you for joy. Joy, joy, joy. So you got to have some joy, amen? Got to have some joy. So Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for joy. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Amen. I am so absolutely, totally, beyond words, honored to be here. Yeah, thanks, Adrian. I mean, no, look, me and her got some, like, serious history, you know? And I don't know why y'all are sitting right here. Did you know I was the preacher today, bro? You better get your little spit mask up there, bro. Let me back up a little bit here, bro. Brother, go home, say he got baptized afresh. Yeah, we don't want that to happen to you, bro. but it is an honor, really, really an honor to be here. And actually, you know, it's really kind of crazy too. I mean, I don't what I need to preach about prayer. Great day. Were you here during the prayer time, Pastor? Bro, man, you blessed, bro. Great day. Man, you got some praying people already. So my hope is to just provoke us a little bit. Amen? You know, that's what I do. I'm not, you know, I'm pretty wild dude. You know, I'm very seldom do I preach sermons. You know, praise God. Because we got good people who are good at that. You see? What I'm good at is provoking people. What I'm good at is people going home and thinking, "Dog, man, I got to get myself together." That's what I do. Because I know the Lord has to do that with me. Amen? And so, you know, not for a moment. Because I know when preachers preach, you know, sometimes, especially people like me, it can sound like, "Man, you better be doing this or else, because I'm, you know." The reality is, I'm so glad that the mercy of God is there for me. Amen? Well, come on here, somebody. You better know the mercy of God. No, dude. I got some stuff with me. You know, so come on. So pray for me. Would you do that? Pray for me. Because if it had not been for the Lord. You see? And I'm blessed to pastor a local church. Very similar to what's happening here. And so I'm sitting here today, and I'm literally crying. Would you clap your hands for the worship band? We're just, that's what we do. That's scary stuff right there, right? And man, I would encourage you, right? Like, you know, one Sunday just blow the church away, right? And like throw this out. And after they, while they worshiping, you know that thing you felt, just say, well, I'm just going to go ahead and go with that. At least for a few minutes. And see what happens, see? Because that's the stuff we don't plan is the real stuff. Guess what, friend? No panic. See, I saw somebody face panic when I said that. God, I did not say God won't use your plan. But bring your plan as a sacrifice. And if you decide to use it, great. But if you decide to burn it up, great. But when your plan is more important than you encountering God. But brother preacher, God gave me that plan. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because he gave it to you. So it must have been God. Pastor Matt, thank you. This is Pastor Don's last time coming. We done with that, brother. We done with him. Let me pray right now before they run me out. Let's go. Father God, we praise you right now. We do. Because prayer is huge. It's critical. And right now in this moment, in the spirit of the moment, God, the reality is this local church, the prayers that I just sat there and heard, there is an awareness, there is an alertness that prayer is critical. And that God actually listens to their prayers. And so now, God, our cry for 2020 is that there would be an increase in those who are praying. That's it. That's all. An increase, God. And so today in these moments, my cry is that your people will be provoked, that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much, that they will be provoked to actually pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If there was a title to this, this is it. Prayer requires a commitment to actually pray. Come on, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's Pastor Stan White, so she better know something, right? I mean, come on. Hey, Pastor Stan. Come on now. It's not like rocket science. No, prayer's about actually making a commitment to pray. You're so pretty. Do you pray? That's right, baby. You better pray. That's right. Come on. Come on. I mean, and look. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. There's no need to go, you know, prayers for, you know, the special ones. They special. Always talking about prayer. No. What Bible are you reading? And so we're going to go through a lot of scriptures today. They're just going to provoke you because I know Presbyterian, y'all love the Bible. See, I know that. I know y'all love the Bible. One of the brothers prayed to God the word. Okay. The challenge of the word is what? What did James say? Since y'all know it. Hello? Be ye doers. Why is the prayer meeting still the least attended meeting in most churches? Come on, we're just going to be real, see? You know why? Because we act like it's like an add-on. When the last time you went to a church and there was no preaching? Oh, you can't do that. Oh, that's a sin. I say this stuff in my church too. They'd be like, gosh, get on my nerves, Pastor Don. we all got stuff we like to do. How did prayer get to be this thing? It's like it's a burden. is a oh, it's time to pray. Do you have to go to that? Let me see if I got room in my schedule for that. He told them a parable to the effect. Now this is Jesus talking, right? That they ought always to pray. Great day. Come on here, man. You see that? That's in the Bible. Like in the Bible. They ought always to pray and not lose heart. I believe the KJV says it this way. And not faint. Not give up. Not quit. And then again, they don't take, you know. Basically, here's Jesus using an unrighteous judge to just try to get our attention. How many of you think God loves you? Get your hands up real quick. There you go. Thank you. I told you what to do on that one. He loves you. He loves you. Okay. If you're not sure of that, see Pastor Man afterwards. God loves you. He's not an unrighteous judge. He's the righteous judge. See? But we see here something that's so beautiful. In verse 7, it says, and will not God give justice to his elect who do what? Who cry to him day and night. Now. Again, that may be our issue. Our issue may be of a lack of investment in prayer. You see that? Persistence, not giving up. Then we go down here to verse, I don't think I read this verse the last time out, but here it is, verse 9. But he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. So here's Jesus equating a lack of prayer means you're trusting in yourself. You're trusting in your strategic plan, your visioning sessions. See, did I say anything was wrong with those things? Did I say something wrong with that? Did I say that? I did not say anything was wrong with it. I just said, you can't trust in those things. You got to trust in God. The way you demonstrate that you're trusting in God, one of the ways you demonstrate that is that you talk to him on a regular basis. And he's not an afterthought. Oh, Lord, we forgot to pray. You been in those church meetings like that? Like the business meetings and stuff? So, oh, we need to pray. Great day, man. You meddling, Don. No, I'm not. I'm trying to provoke Northside Church to realize that what's happening here is an act of God. And if you want to continue to see acts of God, then cry out to God. Make sure you're crying out to God. Make sure that there are people who are praying. Make sure that you are praying. I just want to honor y'all. I mean, that's also what I loved in that prayer time was honest prayers. Hello, people. Hello. Sometimes we get on one another's nerves. I know you love me, but we do. And when you're trying to live life together the way y'all trying to live life together, stuff happens. You know, I can't help it if I'm always right. I mean, come on, we tell the truth. That's the way some of us think. That ain't my fault, though. I'm just always right. You see, and that's the foolishness of humanity, see? And so Jesus tells us, what? Esteem the other higher than yourself. And one of the ways you get to do that is if you're praying for people. It's hard for me to be but so mad with you if I'm actually crying out to God for you. Oh, come on. Thank you, sister. Work with me. Come on now. Because I'm going to roll up in the presence of God calling you names. That ain't going to happen. God ain't going to let you do that. God's not going to let you do that. So here's a tip a day, a tip for 2020. When you find yourself mad and offended at somebody, pray for them. And watch what happens. God's going to show you how jacked up you are. And he said, go ahead, you better show them some mercy, because I done shown you mercy. Come on, preacher. I know this is right, baby. I know this is right. Why? Because I've had to live it. See? This is on point. And so this is why God is telling us to pray so much. Because he knows. He's an all-knowing God, an all-seeing God. He already knows what's going to happen in 2020. He already knows who's going to get on your nerves. And he's telling you, you got to pray more. The only way you get over that stuff is by praying more. And trusting in God, not in yourself. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. That's the person beside you. Go ahead and turn to them and say, now you go ahead and stop that trusting in yourself. There you go. Very good. Very good. Very good. That's good. That's good. That's right. Go ahead. You see, my friend, here we go. I'm a rock and roll here. You see, our key issue here is to resist trusting in ourselves. Faith-filled praying requires prayer that resists. Now, here's another one. This is pretty, listen to me now. Needing our prayers to be answered exactly as we think they need to be. See, this is another struggle with people with praying. Because you've exalted that when you pray, you're going to keep praying because God answers your prayers. Be careful. Be careful. Because God is not going to allow you to manipulate him. If the only reason you pray is so that God can answer your prayers, that's the only reason you go to God? You don't love being in the presence of God? You don't love just talking to him and having and being in his presence? That's actually what prayer is about. I've lived long enough to know that if I don't realize that the greatest joy in life is being in the presence of God, not what he actually does for me. You know why? Because he's already done everything that needs to be done for me when he gave his son. If that's not enough, stop it. I did not say anything about the fact that God wants you to pray. God is not afraid of your prayers. But he does not want you to become to the point where you think all praying is about is him answering your prayer. Because here we go. Our regular practice of praying acknowledges that we are trusting God to do something beyond ourselves. Because we're so caught up in praying to him that we get that it's about being with him. It's about being with him. That's what's the most important thing. Another verse on prayer. We're going to zoom through a few verses and I'm going to set myself down. Ephesians 3:20 says it this way. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. You see, my friend, God is not impressed with our prayers. I'm glad when he showed me that. I'm not impressed with your prayers, bro. Because whatever you prayed, I can do way more than that. You know, you all intense, sweating and all. That's good. Great. I love your intensity. But don't ever think that you're going to pray the perfect prayer that God is like excited he's going to answer. God is like, man, I'm way ahead of you, bro. I'm way smarter than you. You will never be able to pray a prayer that I haven't already thought of. Like I'm giving God fresh information. See, that's the other thing. I'm Pentecostal, you know, so we kind of think, you know, we're spiritual, you know. You know, but the deal is, until we actually realize that God is so far ahead of us, yet he does not mind us praying extravagant prayers. Did you hear the lady praying for the middle schoolers? That's craziness, bro. But why not? Because if you think education going to figure it out, yes, we're going to come up with a great educational plan to change middle schoolers. They've been trying that for a long time. They've been trying that for a long time. And so what do? The people of God, we get it. God, do something. Move. Raise up these young people to pray, to cry out to the living God. That they would go into their schools unashamed and just love their other middle schoolers. And watch God do something that none of us can anticipate or plan. But if we teach them to pray, it's on us to teach them to pray. It's on us for them to realize that the effectual fervent prayer avails much. It's on us to cause them to love to knowing God and be able to communicate that to their peers. Well, why are you so happy today? Because I'm in love with Jesus. Well, you know you can't say Jesus in here. Who told you that? Excuse me. Our God is not impressed with our prayers, yet he so desires that we accept our need to be with him. All this about praying, pray always to pray and not lose heart. That's about us coming before him on a regular, consistent basis to change us. The more I'm in the presence of God, the more I'm changed to be like him. Luke 22, 40 through 42. And when he came to a place, and this was talking about Jesus, and when he came to a place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Anybody got stuff they struggle with? Thank you. See, that's good. At least you're honest. I can put up both hands, 2 feet. Oh, no, I put the whole body up. Struggle stuff I'm struggling with, man. So I have to just quit praying. Because I done prayed about it. No. I keep praying. I keep going before him. I keep laying on my face before him. I keep crying out. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a newsflash. Jesus prayed. And you're still struggling with praying? The one you're praying to prayed. Done. Okay, thank you. I'm so glad I was able to be with you all today. God bless. It's over. I mean, come on. Whatever your excuse is about a lack of prayer, throw it out the window. Done. Because you're required, based on what the Bible says, to be like Jesus. To be conformed to his image and his likeness. So if he prayed, then... Come on, say it again, sister, with your beautiful color zones. Say it again.
We ought to pray.
We ought to. Come on now. I like that ought to, too. We ought to. Hello? We ought to pray. And he withdrew from them a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Another tip about prayer. Not your will, but his be done. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times I've prayed one thing and God did another thing. And you know what I did? I said, thank you, Jesus. You did the way you wanted to do it, and I'm not trying to control you. Not my will, but thine be done. Yeah, that's another one. Say that to the person beside you. Not my will. But the Lord's be done. All right, all right. You see, my friend, if we're going to be serious about prayer in 2020, the reality of our prayer has to transition to God's will being the priority, not what we want to happen. Amen? We're grateful when what we want to happen is actually lining up with what God wants to happen. Somebody clap your hands on that one. Amen? You want that. You want that. But we're totally okay with the fact that when we pray, that what actually happens is what he wants to happen. That's why we're praying. That's why we're praying. That's why we're praying. To position ourselves to be in agreement with the Holy God. And the way that happens is you get in his presence and he'll open the eyes of your understanding that you can see what can't be seen, but only by the Spirit. You see, my friend, prayer is about you and I being with God intentionally and being aware of the fact that the most important reality is not prayers answered in the way we've decided they need to be answered. That's where disappointment comes. That's where frustration comes. And then the enemy tells you, see, God don't answer prayer. When the reality is, God don't answer the wrong prayer. Great day in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Q, want that Q, baby? She laughed at that. See, that's Q. That's right. God don't answer the wrong prayer. He answers his what he wants to happen. And so, again, our greater point is to be in his presence. When we get a greater revelation of the fact that God would even allow us to talk to him is miraculous. I think about that. I told you a moment ago, I got stuff in my life I'm struggling with. So that means God could just kill me, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Why doesn't he? Because he's a merciful God. So the fact that I actually get to talk to him, prayer has to be a joy. I love the quote. I love the quote right on the front of your bulletin. Look at that quote, man. I think Pastor Joe pulled that one out. But look at this. Prayer is a privilege. It is not a burdensome duty. It is a wonderful privilege, even though Scripture commands us to pray. Come on now. I love that. It's not, once again, I told you, it's just not optional. Oh, well, I pray if I want to. No, you're commanded by God to pray. We should not view prayer as something we have to do. Woo! Look at that. Don't you love how God mixed that stuff all up to make you figure it out? Like, wait a minute, you just said I didn't have to do it. We should view is as something we get to do. Something we get to do. And my time is winding down here. So let me go. I'm gonna go hyperspeed and just give you some more verses here. But here's the one that was for our reading today. It says 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Once again, I could shut it down right there. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. God has an expectancy that we would always pray. Well, what is that talking about? That's why you got to spend time with God so he can reveal to you what is he saying when he's saying pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying when? All times. With all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Northside Church, I want to say this to you, and I want to say this to you with authority and humility. Please pray ye one for another. That's the way you're going to get through. Doing church like this is hard. When you bring together different cultures, different economic background, when you bring all that stuff together, there is somebody who is angry. His name is the D-E-V-I-L. He is upset because our God is the ministry of reconciliation. It never was intended for local churches to be separated based on race. You can't find it in the Bible. And especially here in Richmond, Virginia, we know it was a creation of broken human beings. And so when you come against ancient spirits like that, your only hope is to pray. That's it. And pray one for another. I love it. I love it. And I love to pray in public. Go ahead and get you somebody of a different race, and y'all go intentionally, go to one of the restaurants on, what's that street? Brooklyn Park. Go in there and sit down together and pray and have you eat your food together. But one be this color, one be that color. There you go. Intentional. You're doing it intentional. People are like, what? Be intentional about it. Why? This, I'm telling you, man, we as the people of God, we got an opportunity to set an example all the way around. All the way around. And then right now, what I'm about to tell you right now, it's only going to happen by the power of prayer. So you got to be a praying people. And then you see words like this, with all perseverance. Yes, you're going to feel worn out. You're going to feel beat down. But you got to persevere in prayer. I was sitting here crying today because I know, how old is this ministry? I'm just 8 years old, man. I know 10, 15 years ago, there was no north side. Look at this, man. That's what we're talking about, the God. I remember I was in my house praying, and I was just doing church in my home. And I was crying out to God, God, send me some help. I really want to minister here in the East End. He sent white people. I said, what in the world is this? Adrian was one of them. But God, see? He's smarter than us. And I'm, oh God, send me some help, Lord. Pray without ceasing. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm going to be praying for you. And you better pray for me. You better pray for me. That's right, baby. You better pray for me because I'm going to be praying for you. All right. Let me hasten towards my closing before tomorrow. Amen. Somebody caught that. Yes, I will let you out of here before tomorrow. In these days, Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says, in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. This is talking about Jesus. And all night, he continued in prayer to God. Do we have any college students here? Any college students or former college students? Former, you ever been to college? You've been in the university. All right. Have you ever did an all-nighter to pass, try to pass a test? Raise your hand. All right. That's just tell the truth. Tell the truth. All right? So now my question to you is, have you done an all-nighter with God? Have you did an all-nighter with God? So you're telling me passing a test is more important to you than a greater relationship with God? How you gonna judge me like that? I didn't judge you. I just put the peas in the pot. If you prayed all night to pass a test, why wouldn't you follow the example Jesus did and pray all night to your Father? Well, I think I might, you know, with prayer, I might fall asleep. You didn't fall asleep while you were studying for the test. And if you did, you woke yourself back up. God ain't going to be mad at you if you fall asleep because he'll wake you back up. Okay, wake back up. We're not done. We said all night prayer. It's still night. Keep praying. Acts 6:4. Just want to honor the leadership here, but this was the leadership in the book of Acts. They said, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I was so blessed. Pastor Matt called me a couple of weeks ago. I think it was about a couple of weeks ago. He said, Don, I'm in my prayer time, but I just felt like I wanted you to pray with me before it was over. I want to bless you as a local church. If you are encouraging your leadership to take days of prayer, you're smart people. Would you clap your hands for yourself? This is crazy work. And because we serve people, we can get distracted from realizing that we cannot serve you out of our own strength. And sometimes you can get distracted because your needs are so heavy. You just say, come, come, come. And we find ourselves coming and coming and coming and coming. Never refilling. These brothers in the book of Acts, they caught it. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The other thing I want to point out here is there was an order here. We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Another trap for leaders is we find ourselves preparing sermons. We can spend hours doing that because we love it. We love to preach. But are we giving ourselves to prayer? Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Just want you to see these words. All night, Jesus continued in prayer, praying at all times, constant in prayer. I mean, this is not an option, friend. Prayer is critical to who we are. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you find yourself worrying, you must not be praying. Let me say that again, because I ain't get but low on that. Huh? Come on. If you're worrying, if you're anxious, it's because of a lack of prayer. Why? Because when you get into the presence of God, and then it tells you how you do it. You pray, and then you start giving God thanks. Well, wait, I ain't even seen the answer yet. You walk by faith and not by sight. Preach, preacher! Huh? We talk this talk. You got to live it, my friend. You got to live it. When you pray and you pray to God, then you start giving him thanks. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also must help us by prayer. This was the leadership, and I believe the leadership here is saying the same thing to you all. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Man, if Paul saw that thing. I hope you see that, Northside Church. Your leadership is saying to you, we need your help. We need you to pray. And my friend, when we go after this stuff and stuff starts to go like this, the only way we get through it is through people praying for us and we praying for one another. Northside Church, you got an opportunity in 2020. Go hard for prayer. Don't hold back. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power at its working. Jesus Christ has saved you, delivered you. Therefore, you've been made righteous. Your prayers produce power. Please pray, my people. Another thing here, it says in this verse that is so critical. I told you earlier some stuff I'm struggling with. Make sure you got people in your life that you can confess your stuff to. So that they can do what? Pray for you so you can be healed. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Once again. Being watchful in it. With thanksgiving. And then finally, Philippians 1:4, my last verse tonight. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Would you do that, my friend? Would you let your prayer life be a life of joy? Go ahead, let me see you show your teethest. Smile. Have some joy going into 2020 with prayer. So, Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you again. No one can leave here and go, like, what was he talking about tonight? I would be very concerned if that was the case. Prayer. Prayer basically requires a commitment to actually pray. And so, Father God, let it happen in this place, even now, by your Spirit, with something happen beyond what I could even ask, think, or imagine. A seed of life that will burst inside of people. Say, yes, 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 I commit to praying more in 2020. I hear you, God. I hear you speaking to your people today. And I say that there, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And then we have great anticipation that the last Sunday of 2020, a part of our prayer will be for Northside Church, that truly they sense the prayer tsunami in 2020, that the local church carried a great spirit of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, let it be.